Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
So this morning, we're going to talk about some first fruits, but I want to tell you, we're going to do something different. Every time we teach first fruits, we now do it in the fall, and we do it in the spring, and we take vows or pledges, okay? But what we're going to do today is we're going to ask you to take a first fruits offering envelope. We have them in the chairs home with you and pray until next Sunday about what you are to vow as a pledge. Really felt like God told me to shift it. One of the reasons that I believe that is expedient is, and this is not in any way, please, nobody receive one bit of condemnation, but we have noticed that there are people who make these vows and are unable to complete them. And if you've ever made a vow, what we want you to understand, you're not under legalism and you're not under pressure. We want to release you. We want to release you. So, hey, God, bring me down just a little bit. We want to release you so you can be free of that. But what we hope and believe that the Lord is saying out of this will give you a week to carry it home. And, you know, I'm going to just tell you, I wouldn't write anything on it. Now, let me share. If you've already been praying, and I know some of you already let me know you have, and you came prepared, you know what God's telling you to do today, or you came prepared to go ahead and sow some of it or all of it today, we're going to receive that then. But what we want to do, especially those that maybe have never heard First Fruits teaching, to have the ability to carry this offering envelope home and to pray over it. And one of the things I want to remind you of something, I believe that your first fruits, let me just say this, what is the tithe? The first 10%. What does the tithe represent? First 10% of what you have in your barn. You can't tithe off of what you don't have. That's what first fruits is about. So the tithe, the first 10%, and the reason we teach it in this house, the first 10%, because what I've discovered is the people who, if Aaron gets paid on Wednesday, and Wednesday night, you know, the money goes into his account, and him and Sarah sit down on Thursday morning when they get up, I mean, I don't know what your schedule is, I don't even know what shift you're on, but if they get up the next morning and they're talking, well, we got to pay this bill and we got to pay that, but if they get up and they write that check right then for their tithes and offerings, how many of you know you're releasing faith by writing it and the operation of God goes to work right then rather than waiting to write it on Sunday? Some of the strongest people of increase with the things of God are people who live this way. You know, I know I was told about, I was with a young man a week or so ago, somewhere I was, and he was telling me that they've gotten to, and him and his wife now set it up, that they have money come in every week. They own their own business, have several businesses, and it does. The church does an automatic debit, you know, about 8 hours after it comes in. And he said it has changed their business tremendously. And I thought, wow, I like nifty ideas like that. Now, let me just share. Some of you are not there in faith, so don't go and begin to do it legalistically. Hear from heaven with that. But we're going to talk this morning a little bit. And one of the things I want to do, and I'm always amazed on when we do first fruits, that it seems like that the crowd diminishes a little bit. And but you know, how many of you know you can stay home, but truth is truth. Would you agree with that? You can stay home, but truth is truth. But one of the things I want to do towards the end this morning, if you have a question, we're going to open it up. Different. I know we have some guests in, but we're going to be different. Let me just share something with you. If you perceive that we teach first fruits so that we can have more money in the church, then can I just bless you? You know, Susan, get some money out. We'll give you some money. Go to IHOP and have a good meal right now. Because it's not about, does what your first fruits giving help us with the budget here? Yes. But let me just share something. The blessings that her and I live in, we want you to live in. We have discovered a kingdom principle through first fruits, and we practice that. My wife just hold it up and let them see. This is how I preach, y'all. She's holding up that first fruits creates an open heaven. How many of you want to live under an open heaven? One of the scriptures, Robert Hinz wrote a book about the cause blessing. When you practice first fruit, it causes a blessing to rest on your house. Amen? Let me just show you what I'm talking about. Larry, what's y'all's address?
2345.
Okay. That's not talking about that. It's talking about that right there. That's a granddaughter, son. Okay. From back, I can't tell with that, you know. But that's a grand. See, it doesn't just mean that the blessing is going to come up on that physical house where they sleep and eat and family gather sometime and you have wonderful things. And Tim probably gets stirred up from time to time and prophesies. You know, I was seeing the other day we had one of his nephews, putting chips or something in your guitar. Was it this one here? Okay, I love that. Isn't Facebook good for that? I mean, you know, you kind of keep up with people. But it's not talking about. It's not talking about it resting on the roof of your house. It's talking about your house is your lineage. You know, one of these days, our grandchildren are going to have children. And there's going to be blessings come up on them because of the faithfulness of mine and Susan's first fruit giving. At some point, let me just share something. At some point, maybe one of our grandchildren, God forbid, but maybe they're going to need a miracle. In an accident, you know, maybe they're going to, you know, with it, they're going to need the devourer rebuked. How many of you have seen somebody's testimony out there where cars just totally demolished and the person walks away from it?
Yeah.
That. Come on.
Bobby Dean, because of your first fruits,
yeah.
He didn't die when that four-wheeler, he crashed that thing at 70 miles an hour.
It's 110 miles an hour. My son wrecked a four-wheeler at 110 miles an hour, and doctors, they had him strapped to the board, told us he was paralyzed. And because of first fruits giving, the devourer's rebuke, and also because of the anointing, they cut his right boot. I got to the emergency room at the same time they carried him in and began to work on him. And they cut his right boot off, and I grabbed his foot, and literally, you know, he was strapped. You know the board I'm talking about, because they had it every. The board and Dean came off of the bed they put him on. And everybody in that room quit working. The power of God hit him. And the next morning, they checked him out of the hospital. And he went home. Listen, this is, God doesn't, yeah, come on, give the Lord a big hand clap. Now, what I want you to understand, God doesn't do magic, he does miracles. And so first fruits is not about getting God to pull a rabbit out of the hat. But there are principles that line up with first fruits to where he will rebuke the devourer. Our daughter Dawn and Dean and Diane were home. I don't remember when it was. Right after Dr. Lovett died, probably 98. And we were in Waco and a tornado came through Dyersburg. And we had a barn out back, had six stall barn and had a diesel tractor sitting under it. And we had all these big oak trees and everything. And when the tornado actually left, went on from our house, hit another subdivision, little girl was killed. But when the contractor blew some shingles off and jerked the power supply, you know, the power company's line that comes to the meter, jerked out of the end of the house and blew some shingles off of one corner of the house. And when the contractor, the insurance company, had him come out and put some plastic over so the roof wouldn't leak. And when I got there, that contractor wanted the job of, you know, repairing things. And I met with him. And he didn't know I was a preacher. He didn't know me from anybody. And he looked at me and he said, you know, sir, if I didn't know better, I'd say that tornado split and went on either side of your house. Well, let me just tell you, I know better. And it did split. And go on either side of my house. And when our kids were there, I mean, they were old enough to be there. Dawn was somewhat in charge. I don't know if you could ever be in charge of Diane and Dean both. But anyway, she was somewhat in charge. And when we talked to them, were they scared? They said it was just the hard. It didn't even scare them. They just thought it was a hard rain. And another part of the story, the hotel we were in Waco, the phone was unplugged behind the TV or behind the dresser. the nightstand, and they tried calling us all night, and we didn't even get the call. It was before cell phone, before we had cell phone. And with it. So I'm just telling you, first fruits, as well as tithes and offering, the offering side of that in Malachi is one of the offerings. There's heave offerings, there's first fruits, there's different kinds. It is a principle that will cause the devourer to be rebuked for your sake. You ever wonder sometimes why some things happen to some people and didn't happen to others? It has to do that there are kingdom principles. How many of you know that if Nate, who is up in the sound booth, wave at us, Nate, great young man, you know, with that, you know, he's, you know, not because he's Dan and Vicky's son, he's just a great young man. I like Nate. And with it, but if he took and stepped up on the edge of the sound booth there and stepped off, gravity's real, and he's going to hit the ground. And so there are kingdom laws. One of those kingdom laws is seed time and harvest. If you're going to have a harvest, you've got to plant some. The tithe is not seed. Look to your neighbor and say, the tithe is not seed.
The tithe is
not seed. Now let me just share something with you. Please hear my heart. I'm trying to get you blessed. I'm trying to get you blessed. You know, we had someone said that every time I said something about tithing, it just condemned them because they couldn't afford to tithe. Like, can I tell you something? You can't afford not to tithe. And if you can't buy into that, that's okay. I'm not condemning anyone. But I'm just telling you, you can't. I will say this again. If you will tithe and give offerings and release faith, for 3 months, if you do not prosper in that 3 months, I'll give you every penny you gave to this church back. Try me. I've been offering this for 25 years, and I've never gave one penny back to anyone. Because it works. Jim, would you agree? I just trust you. But the reason the Jews are so blessed is not because they're, I know they are dear to God's heart, but they apply this principle. Seed time and harvest. And so when we understand it and we apply it, it works for us. Is that okay? In Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, if you want to go in God's word with me, okay? Genesis chapter 4. It says, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and she bore Cain, and she said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, a brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Somebody say keeper of the sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. How many of you know that keeping sheep or tilling the ground is not more important than the other? We need both of them. It's not that one of them was more important than the other. But in the process of time, say in the process of time. I want to tell you, we are living in some suddenlies of God where the process of time is becoming the fullness of time. Like I've never seen before. If I could just, many of you, most of you, maybe all of you have saw the ministry that came forth here a few weeks ago when Dutch prophesied. I have went from 0 to 60 in 1.4 seconds. I am walking in a level of revelation I've never walked before in my life. I mean, I prophesied in Atlanta this weekend on a level. And I mean, Dutch and I were talking for just a few minutes in the office before he left, in the green room before he left, and I just began to give him words about his daughter and about some things and about Christ for the nation and da-da-da, you know, like that. I'm not boasting in it. I'm just telling you, everything's available to me is available to you. But you're going to have to contend for it. Ben and Jordan came in there. Have you talked to them? They tell you what happened? I just brought them up the front to honor them. And then all of a sudden, prophetic words begin to come. Ben represented the tribe of Benjamin, which means the right hand of God. And Jordan represented crossing over in the promised land, of which we did at the death of Bob Jones. They were crossing over. And it just began and just began to minister. And they both were just splat out in front of everybody on the floor. I mean, Ben was just so full of God when he was over. Ben just kind of looks a little bit like a teddy bear sometimes when he's rolling around on the floor. It's powerful. But it was all, we are living in prophetic times to where every decision you make and every action you take can, should be a prophetic word to somebody else. When you watch, I got a text from a young man named Jason Stocksdale. His father is Larry Stocksdale and a Bethany World Outreach, great ministry. And he's changing, he's been doing graphics for Dutch Sheets Ministries, but he's going on staff with a nonprofit or business or something. Anyway, and when I got it, just suddenly I began to declare over your son, Matt, that the same way that God had provided for Jason, he's going to provide this job, because Matt just graduated or finished up his training to be able to do the same type of work. Listen, it wasn't by coincidence that that information came into me, and I was great to know about Jason, and I was excited about it, and I've seen his graphic work, and he does good, but it was about Matt, because it triggered something in me. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel also brought the firstborn of the flock of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, at his, and his countenance fell. Now let's talk about, why was God pleased with one and not with the other? One of the things I do not want you to do in first fruits this time is just prefer to give something. See, I believe that Cain brought what was convenient. Say the word convenient.
Convenient.
What is the most thing that's being built in Memphis? Convenience stores. How many of you know the reason we have Walgreens on one side and CVS on the other is because they're doing it to be conveniently located so that you'll stop in there? And someone told me that, I don't know if somebody here, I haven't verified. Does anybody know if it's true that Walgreens owns CVS?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Somebody, two or three people have told me that. I haven't verified. But, you know, I find it hard to believe, but nevertheless, how many of you know they're everywhere? Amen? They paid $1 million for this piece of ground right over here in the corner to build that one on. Because I went to the deed and looked up what it is, just kind of wondering what land was worth around here. In fact, we were told we could bulldoze this building down and get $1 million for this piece of property right here. And so what I want you to catch is that it wasn't that one offering was right and one offering was wrong because of with it. It was just simply that Cain did not seek the Lord about what he was to do. So you need to seek the Lord about what you're to do with first fruits. You're to seek the Lord about what you are to give with first fruit. And he respected one, but he didn't the other. See, understand, in the process of time, at the end of the day, God always begins at the end of the day. Remember when you go back into Genesis and he said, you know, and he began at night, but he ends in day. The day, the way God works, he ends in the day. He doesn't do it like we do it and everything with that. And what you got to understand, at the end, in the process of time, God wants to bless you. Chuck, you and Britt been blessed since you've moved here? How many years ago?
It's almost 10.
Almost 10 years ago. Now, can I tell your story for you?
Yeah.
They almost didn't have two pennies to rub together when they got here.
Yep.
Not in any way to bring embarrassment, but they got here, and it wasn't a short period of time as you got here. The people they owed on their van decided they needed their van more than they did. They talked with me, sat down. It was a peaceful turnover. And I gave you my word that it wouldn't come back on you. Didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Did it come back on you?
Nope.
Nothing's ever,
nope,
ever showed up. You know, they came down. They couldn't pay for it. I mean, I don't remember, but I think you got here behind on it anyway, or real close to getting behind. The job didn't come in. They knew they heard from God. Listen, the enemy is going to form weapons against you.
Amen.
Amen? You know, I've told the Lord, he won't listen to me. I said, God, you missed it. You should have wrote in your word, no weapon will ever be formed against you. But that's not what it said. It says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And when you balance that out with all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. You want to move into greater increase? Quit looking for your purpose and start discovering His purpose. If you'll shift from trying to discover your purpose, what's my ministry? What is my gift? Listen, just fall in love with Him. Just let Him live through you. There used to be an old, I think it was Southern Gospel, and I'm not too much on that. I'm sorry, just not my. But there used to be an old song, "You Might Be the Only Jesus They Ever See." Anybody here remember that song? I tried to forget it too. Anyway, yeah, but it's a lot of truth to it. You are the only. But in the process of time, God always begins at the end, and He begins and He finishes in the morning when there is light. See, Abel brought the firstling. That means the birthright, the firstborn. He brought what he was convicted of God. Don't give out a preference. Give out a conviction. We are convicted. We gave a significant offering. There was a moment in time on Saturday, wasn't it? And Susan was actually up doing the worship. And I just leaned on this, told her, I said, I'm fitting to give again. I'd already went in her purse and gave every bit of cash she had in her purse. There was a guy going for some training. I said, we got to sow into him. This is good what he's going for. I said, how much you got? She told me, and it wasn't a little bit. I said, give it all to me. I'm going to give it all to him. And I mean, I love her. She's always, you know, we always get in agreement. She said, are you sure? I love that. I need to hear that. And I said, yeah, I'm sure. And so she pulled out hundreds of dollars in cash money. And I went back and stuck it in this man's hand, and he just started crying. And he said, we were going in faith, but we can get there now. You know, with it. I'm talking about a 2,000-mile driving trip to go through 2 weeks of training, you know, with it. And the training is going to be good. And they lead a ministry. Are you hearing me? Number three, he brought of their fat. This means the best, the most healthy, without spot, without blemish, and it also means the supreme sacrifice. Let me tell you the one thing you need to know about first fruit. If your first fruits giving or pledges today is not sacrificial, then it's not really representing. If you can dig, if Chuck can run his hand into Britt's purse and give $500, very easy today, and they don't have to worry about where a bill's going to be paid or this, what, that, then it's not sacrificial. First fruits is always sacrificial. That's the reason that Abel brought the best. He brought the most healthiest sheep that he had. He brought the fattest sheep that he had. You're to bring the best when you give this. Now, let's talk a little bit. Let's do a little bit of compare. Go ahead, Susan. Get a mic.
That if it was a sheep or that animal, which was a firstborn, represents his future. Because if he sacrifices it, that animal can't produce anymore. And they have to have reproduction of animals to live. So it represented his future. You could look at it, well, if I kill that, I won't have any more. If I give that, I won't have any more. Mm-hmm. But God's principles is if you give it, I'll multiply it.
Right.
Beyond your wildest imaginations.
How many are hearing that? Now let's compare first fruits and tithing for this moment. Tithing is in relation to what you already have. We've already talked about it. It's what's already in your barn. Okay? If we did it under the law of the Pharisees, you'd have to tithe on that jar of jelly you bought this week at Kroger. You have to tithe on everything. But tithing is in relation to what you already have. First fruits is in relation to what God wants you to have. How many of you understand God wants you to be blessed more than you want to be blessed?
That's true. Amen.
God wants you to... Listen, one of the things that we can win people to the Lord by them looking at how we're blessed. Amen? He says, I give you the power to get wealth. And it talks about over there in Deuteronomy that it's a sign to people. And so God wants to bless you. Now, can I share something with you? Get this thing out of this pie in the sky that money's going to fall out of the sky or grow on trees or some of that. It's not going to happen that way. You've got to learn. In fact, next Sunday, when you bring your first fruit vows in, I'm going to be teaching on financial stewardship. See, I'm convinced that in the Spirit-filled, kingdom, charismatic, Pentecostal people that we are some of the greatest givers they are in the body of Christ, but they don't steward the part they don't give, and they get themselves in trouble. How is it I say it? A wise kingdom person will sacrifice the now to secure their future, but a foolish person will sacrifice the future to have something now by charging it on one of these at 27% interest. I'm always amazed at people. I upset people, but I don't understand going down here to one of these rent places where you rent to own when you're paying four times what you could probably just really, save up and work hard. I actually removed an elder from eldership in another church one time because he declared bankruptcy on $6,000. I insulted him. I didn't mean to. I didn't get it more than I'm on insulting. But when we were talking about it, now, number one, the door opened because I found out he was borrowing money off people in the church and not paying it back. Let me just tell you, if I was dead broke today, I'm not going to come and try to borrow money off you. That puts a pressure on you it shouldn't. Well, if I don't loan it to Apostle, I won't have favor with him. And I don't believe in that, okay? But I told him, I said, you could mow $6,000 worth of yards over the next 2 years and pay it off. Listen, bankruptcy happens. If you've had to declare bankruptcy, I am in no way condemning you. It's the same way divorce happens, okay? But what I'm trying to tell you is foolish over $6,000. And I asked him, I said, how many of these people have you asked them, can you pay them out? When our son was in that four-wheeler wreck, he didn't have a penny's insurance. You remember how much it was? Almost $20,000, wasn't it? $16,000? It was a huge sum. And we sat down with him and we helped him. He contacted every one of the avenues that he owed medical bills to, and he worked out a payment plan. And to make sure, he assigned his mother, put his mother on his checking account to sign checks. And every month she made sure that the payments were made.
On
never.
On his account.
On his account. We didn't make them for him. On his account. There was probably a couple of times he needed a little help and we helped him. And probably a couple of times they needed a little help and she helped him, didn't tell me. But he made the payment. He worked his job and he paid it off, and it never damaged his credit a bit. Do you know why most people get in trouble? Because you're afraid to call the people and say, I can't make a payment. One of my famous stories is when I owed almost $1 million and couldn't pay it, I called the banker one night about midnight. He didn't appreciate it. It was about 11:30. His name was Albert Rusher Jr. I said, Mr. Rusher, this is Clay Nash. And I've been worrying for days, and I can't make this next big payment. I mean, our interest in those days was about $5,000 a week, with it. I said, I can't make this next payment, and the only thing I can figure out is bring all those trucks and trailers back to you. I said, where do you want them parked at? And this is what the banker told me. This is a true story. He said, look, Clay, he said, I don't want your trucks and trailers, and you probably need to work harder tomorrow than I do. Why don't you go to sleep, and I'll stay up the rest of the night and worry for you. Really, that's what he said. That's not a joke. And we worked out it. We paid that banker down to $17,000. And some of you know the story. He tore the note up and said, year of Jubilee, and forgave the last $17,000. Come on. But can I tell you why? Because first fruits and because of tithing, because of giving offerings. Come on. I'm telling you, I'm preaching life to you. And if you're sitting there, can I tell you what's going on? Can I let the cat out of the bag? Let me just say what's going on. You're taking a test today to see if you have a religious mindset.
That's right. Come on. Amen.
Can I just get down? Can I talk Mississippian for a minute? I just double dog dare you to try this and release faith. I'm just telling you, it works. I'm living by it.
It does.
Amen. I came here. And I mean, Vicki, it wasn't two pennies to rub together. We had about 14 people. And about 3 months into it, I think we were up to 26 people, and we were meeting over in the annex, over in the fellowship hall. And I told Dan and Vicki and Thomas and Kathy, I said, I'm confined in this place. I mean, it'll seat 150. And so what are you going to do? I said, we're going to move over in the big sanctuary. The sound system had been robbed. I mean, everything. It was just, I mean, the air conditioning hadn't been run in a while. They said, it's going to cost a lot more money. I said, I just believe that's what God's saying. We're going to do it. And we did it. And it was the way I remember it, because I forget the hard things, move on, but it was a pretty easy transition. I mean, this place was musty and, you know, with it. And, I mean, you know, with it. But see, the tithe relates to what you make. First fruits relate to what God wants you to make. You know, somebody do practice this and get some good testimony and bring them to me. Okay? Somebody, come on with that. Just, you know, what I'm talking about. My son in 2008 gave a first fruits offering for a raise and was passed over at the business he worked for a raise. But later that year, they gave him $1,350 a month raise. That's a huge raise. Since then, this past year in 2013, got $2.50 more in IRA raise with it. And I had to coach him. He kept coming. He's like, Dad, I'm going to go to work somewhere else. They were supposed to give me a raise. They promised me this, and they didn't do it. And I said, son, don't you do it. I said, you give God time to work. See, we have this mindset that we give it, and he's got to do it tomorrow. He didn't get that raise till it was either late August or early September. And he gave it that year. We actually took it in January. I remember the end of January is when he gave the first fruits. What I'm wanting you to catch is you got to wait on God to do it. And I finally had to sit him down. I said, son, don't listen to daddy. Listen to the prophet in daddy. I'm telling you, you ain't changing jobs. God wants you on this job. You got favor on this job. And they came back and said, look, here's what. Because what he did, another company tried to hire him. And he said, Dad, I'm going to go to work with the other guy. I said, son, you're not made to work for that other company. It was a lot dirtier job. He could have done the work. It was working with Fematics, which is air over oil, air over hydraulics, and he could have handled that. But the machines that he would have been maintaining were General Motors manufacturing machines in the 50s. Can you imagine what maintaining something like I said? And plus, he would be inside four walls all the time. My son's not made to be inside. I said, listen, Dad. And finally, one day, the HR guy, which I don't even think was wisdom, went back to where my son was working. He said, you need to know you were the topic of discussion last night. My son, really? And he went through the whole thing. He said, well, let me tell you what I told the owner of the company and your supervisor. I said, that young man is the future of this company. Give him whatever he wants. I said, if he wants the kitchen, if he wants the sink out of the shop, give it to him. Boy, that bolstered my son. You know, he said, Dad, you might be right. I said, son, I've heard from heaven. I'm telling you, I'm not just talking to you as your daddy. I'm talking to you as a prophet of God. I've heard from heaven. And they come back $1,350 a month. See, I'm speaking in. I'm not just telling you stories right now. Some of you don't believe you can get a raise. Some of you believe the company you're working for is going under. And you can be the element of change there. I'm telling you, we're going to see so many game changes this year. How many of you have seen the movie Lone Survivor yet? A few of you. It's not for the mild mannered. And I don't want to throw it away to anybody that saw it, but there's a situation there when they're fixing to execute one of our Navy SEALs. And all of a sudden something happened. I don't want to mess it up. And I was sitting beside Amos and Katie. I almost stood up, didn't I? I'm not even going to tell you what I thought, because some of you are too religious to handle it. But I thought, oh, heaven, yes. Because the whole thing changed at that moment. God wants to give you some of those same game changers. Some of you, you think your head's going to be put in the guillotine financially this year. You think your head's going to be put in the guillotine relationally this year, ministry-wise. And I'm just telling you, just about the time they put your head in there, the game's going to change. And God's going to come through like you know. I'm telling you. You want to give it now?
God just reminded me something just now. In years past, we sowed first fruits, believing God for increase in every area of our lives, not just finances.
Health.
Every area of our lives. Increase, increase, increase. Well, we've got lots of increase in our lives. I mean, we're great. So the last few years, we've been sowing first fruits for our children, for them to increase in every area of their lives, for the favor of God to be on our children, our grandchildren. And he's told you the story about our son and the raise he received. And it just hit me just now that we've been praying those prayers over our children. And just last week, I discovered that I had not finished paying our first fruits. I got behind, just overlooked it, being busy. And so I thought, oh, my God, I got to get this. So I wrote out a couple of checks, and I sent it off. And just this past week, Friday, I think, or Thursday, our daughter-in-law called and said, I got that new job I've been wanting with the increase of pay. And it just hit me. Oh, my God, that's what that's all about.
And let me just share with you. She'll probably shoot me if she finds out. But her company promoted her to a different location. It's $2,000 a month more income. How many of you know that's pretty significant? You know, some of you, you know, maybe somebody in here is wanting to get to where they're making $2,000 a month, and she's getting a $2,000 a month. This is what my son said, you know, when he texted me that. He said, Dad, that plan that I've been putting together to have all our little outside debt, everything but their house paid for, you know, with that, he said, we can do it now. And I, you know, and I texted him out. I said, son, stick to it. Because how many of you know it's real easy when you get a raise like that to, you know, big screen TVs and all that, you know. Come on. I'm just like you. I like stuff. I'm just being honest. See, tithing relates to past productivity, but first fruits relates to your future productivity. It's all about the future. I'm really interested in my future. Can I tell you why? Because that's where I'm going to spend the rest of my life. Think about it. You can't go back into your past, but you're going to spend time in the future. Tithing protects what has been made. First fruits protects what you will make. Let me tell you where the historically, and I talked with a rabbi one time. First, you know, back during, I always want to say Bible time, but how many of you know we're in Bible time? That's religious nonsense. Back some time ago, way back when, the standard of things was actually wheat and barley for the Israelites. I mean, they're both about the same. They're different. And so what would happen is when a barley field or a wheat field, I have asked the Lord to help me find a wheat field near here and to get pictures this year so I can show you first fruits, okay? But when a wheat or barley field begins to ripen, you can always drive by and there will be a portion in that field that will ripen before the rest. The rest of it will be just green as a gourd, we would say. Green is all, and it will be a portion that ripened. If you were a non-covenant Israelite, everybody say non-covenant Israelite. Then you would go out into that field and you would harvest that first fruits, that seed, and you would take it and you would carry it back to your home and you would wrap it in a cloth and you would put it up to where weevils and moisture and everything couldn't get to it, because it was the only potential you had to plant another crop, that first seed. And let me just share something with you. I wish Jim Bosch was here because he worked for a company. But the first fruit, the first that ripened in the field, is the best seed. That's the best for planting. And so they would put it up and they would, you know, guard it. They'd make sure moisture didn't get to it. They'd wrap it in this real fine cloth that even bugs couldn't get into. And they would put this seed up because that's how they could plant another crop. But if you were a covenant Israelite, you would go out in the field and you would pull it. And even while it was still on the stalk, you would bring it as a wave offering or a sheave offering, and you would carry it to the priest, and you would present it to the priest, and your action would say, I'm not going to trust storing it up over here and trying to keep the weevils and the bugs and the moisture from getting to it. I'm going to trust God that my seed's still out in the field and the fullness of my harvest, and at the end of harvesting that field, I'm going to have sufficient seed to plant next year. Let me just tell you what I talked to you about. How many, Tim, you got insurance? What are you driving now? Pickup? You got insurance on your pickup? So in other words, if Jim Lehman goes out here today in a hurry, you know, to get down to CC's Pizza and get him a pizza. Not. But anyway, if he goes out there and he backs into the side of your truck, and Jim wouldn't do this, but he drives off and you go out and your truck's all caved in, you got insurance that will pay for it, you know, got what they call it, collision or whatever, and it'll pay for fixing it, right? But let me tell you how first fruit, it works like an insurance policy that keeps the devourer from ever backing into your truck. Not that Jim's a devourer, but it prevents damage from coming. How many of you had rather be insured after the fact or insured before the fact so that damage doesn't come? That's what happened with our house. The devourer was rebuked. The tornado turned and went on either side. Am I getting this in your heart? Yeah, come up, Jim. I mean, you know you can. We're into releasing truth.
Here's the biblical side of this.
Okay.
Remember the non-covenant Gentile that does first fruits with the first barley? The New Testament said, do not lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust will devour. And that's the old wineskin. If I don't give it, but I save it, I'll have something for another time. But when I give the best sheep, I'm not going to have something to reproduce. So that's mammon. Okay? And so we're to lay up treasures in heaven because God's economy is supernatural, not earthly. Okay? Now, the reason why it's supernatural is you've got to go back to the cross. And Jesus is the Passover lamb. And in Passover, there's three feasts, a part of that whole feast days. It is Passover, the Feast of Unleavened, and the Feast of First Fruits. And Jesus dies at the time when they all bring their first fruits in and the priest does the wave offering supernaturally. Okay? But Jesus has fulfilled that naturally on the cross in his earthly body, and he became our first fruits. So when we give first fruits, like you're talking about, God not just redeems the tithe, but he redeems not just the finances, but every area of our lives so that supernaturally we will increase. So when you're giving, it's just not about finances. He's not talking about finances today.
Come on.
Get that mindset out.
Come on.
He's talking about blessing every area of your life. Even Mitch and your daughters at the Tigers game where Memphis beat Louisville. Yoo-hoo! Because I hate Louisville, but I love Memphis. But that just to be able to be there and enjoy that is a blessing of the Lord.
Can I share something with you? My wife told me that Willie Nelson's coming to Memphis this year to do a concert. I've been carrying a prophetic word for Willie Nelson for some time. I know a woman who sews all of the quilts that's on his bus he travels on.
Wow.
Prophesied into her in Don Lynch's church in Jacksonville. And so I texted her this morning while I was on the plane, and I said, can you get me near Willie Nelson? I've got a word for him. She said, I can certainly try. And this is what she texted me back, okay? She said, would you like to have backstage passes?
Praise God.
Let me pray about it. Yes.
See, yeah.
See, let me just share something with you. What you got to recognize, don't look at all the stuff Willie's done. Look at where he started.
He was a Bible study preacher.
That's right.
In a Baptist church.
That's right. And he started saying, I mean, have you ever seen him in a suit and tie with his guitar singing gospel?
Yes.
And maybe, you know, I read in an old book a great truth. It said, raise up a child in the way they're to go. And the way we quote it sometimes, not quite accurate, but he said, and when he's old, he won't depart. And some even say he'll return. Well, I'm declaring Willie's going to return. I mean, is it all right if I care about those people? And if you've got any excess, I've got the word of the Lord for Hank Williams Jr. I'm serious. Can you imagine? We want to go there. Tithing represents our present need. Were you through, Jim? Okay. Tithing represents our present needs. First fruits represents the increase over the next 12 months. I want to show you a principle. Now, I talked about Bob Seymour a while ago. I want to talk about a different Seymour, William Seymour. Any of you ever read about Azusa Street? I mean, any of you ever read where he would pray and order tracts to give away, and then he would go to the mailbox, and whatever the tracts came to, he would place the order, and whatever the tracts came to, let's just say $38.12, there would be that much money come into the mail that day. Now, how many of you know, I'm going to go back, let me read this, I want you to catch this picture. The tithe represents your present need. The first fruits represents the increase over, wait a minute, the tithing represents your present need, but first fruits represents the increase over the next 12. God knows what you're going to have need of before you even have need of it. And when you live by first fruits, we had a home, and I won't go into the whole story. And when it came time for us to leave Arkansas, we had a Christian who had financed it for us. At zero interest, too, wasn't it? Zero interest. And the Lord told us, and what we owed this person was probably just about less, around a third of what the house was probably worth. And when we got ready to leave, the Lord said, I don't want you to try to get any equity out of that house. I want you to just, you know, sign the house over to them and let them have it, and let them sell it, and let them have the equity. And I argued with God for about 2 days, and then I gave in. See, there's nothing wrong with arguing God. It just, you don't want to ever win an argument, okay? And so I gave in, and we did that, and we signed it. And the Lord blessed her with her first keyboard. She'd led worship for years, a whole new sound system, everything new. And I'm up thanking him one night, God, you're so good. And I'm just crying and everything. And he said, you know how I asked you to let that house go and not get any equity? I said, yes, Lord. He said, now every time you need equity, I'm going to send it to you. See, I didn't even realize that was the first fruit. Didn't understand this principle. And when we got ready to buy our house in Dyersburg that we had, we didn't have no money.
No.
None. None.
None.
We knew that the realtor would not cash your earnest money. We wrote her a check for $500 because they usually hold it until the contract's signed. And we wrote, don't ever write hot checks. But we wrote a check that had insufficient funds at the moment to get the ball going with that. And within 45 days, $11,781 came into us. And we bought that house for $86,000. And when we moved here to start this church, we sold it for $186,000.
Praise God. Amen.
Come on. I'm telling you. Oh. I wish I had a USB drive. I could just plug in. Your mind would shift completely into this. I'm serious. I mean, we so much live in this. It so works for us. Get up here, Jim. You can interrupt me anytime.
No. You mentioned William Seymour.
Yes.
He was the black pastor that birthed the Azusa Street Revival in 1902 or 3, that birthed where we are today in American and worldwide churches. I heard in the news this week the rains have come to California because of the drought, and Azusa, California was in the news because it was flooding and it was raining, and I heard the Lord say, I'm revisiting old places for a new season.
Wow. Hey, let me just tell you, that word's for it's for you, ma'am. I saw God, I'm telling you, but it's that word for people here. How many of you heard Dutch prophesy to us about an inheritance in Arkansas? And I don't know if he said it publicly, but he's told us privately twice. He said, I see oil and gas coming to y'all. We're praying about just buying some land in Arkansas so God can shift the oil and gas under it. No, I'm not crazy.
Because the land is blessed where we set our
feet. The land is blessed where we set our feet. I shared this in the conference. I'm going to just throw this out and I'm going to finish up. Just give me, if you'll give me 10 more minutes, finish up. I believe with all my heart where God told Moses, take your shoes off, it's holy ground. He was not saying this ground's holy enough for you to walk and touch it. He was saying you're a holy man, take your shoes off, and you're going to impart healing to this land, and it will become holy even as you are holy. Amen. I have studied that Hebrew. I've broke it down with my limitation. I have about a $2,000 Bible program in my computer that does things, and I'm not telling you dogma, but I really do believe this, that we heal the land by walking on it when we walk holy. And if you go back and study, and Ruthie Young is one of them, Arthur Burke is another, and teach about things that defile the land. There's about five, and part of, you know, it's actions of people that defile the land. Let me show you something. How many of you have read this scripture, Chronicles 7:14? If my people who are called by my name, let me, can I paraphrase it with you? If my people who are called by my character, authority, and nature will humble themselves and repent and turn from their wicked ways, am I doing pretty good? Staying pretty close? Then I will hear them and I will heal the land. If we'll get our act together, if there would be something of the nature of global warming, God can change it. Right now, part of the drought in California is over foolishness because they've got a mud manna, things we despise down here in the South. They've got a mud manna, and they won't let them pump this water because they're afraid this mud manna, that's what this fish is. They keep calling it a fish. It ain't a fish. It's a mud manna. And they're afraid they're going to go extinct. Let me just tell you what I believe. I don't believe it has to go extinct, but let me just tell you what I do believe. If it went extinct, I believe we have creative power, and God can create it again if it's needed. I don't believe it's going to... God said even in His Word, I planted you a noble vine, but you've become a degenerate. Well, help me with the word. Is it entropy? Where everything, am I right, Michael? You're everything has a tendency to become worse. Everything has a tendency to degrade with that. For years around in Arkansas, they claimed the ivory-billed woodpecker was extinct. And so I kept telling them, I said, y'all crazy. I know a place I duck hunt, and I see them all the time. And they all thought I'd been, and I didn't, been smoking something. And I never had that habit. And so I told them, I said, I see them all the time down there in the White River Bottom. And then all of a sudden up in Dark Corner, Biometa, Arkansas, up near Cotton Plant, Arkansas, in a place where Willie Nelson used to duck hunt, they discovered the ivory bill, and Brinkley's on the map now, and people come there all the time, and they put them in these little P-row boats, and they paddle them out into the swamp, and nobody ever gets to see it. But some guys caught pictures of it. Now, let me just say, if it went distinct, and Teresa, don't you leave here without me talking to you today, or call me later or something. If you're going, are you going with Apostle Jan? Well, we forgive you. But anyway, with that, I do need to tell you something. With it, you can text me about it. But if it went extinct, don't you believe God can create another one if He's needed? Why do we limit the creative ability of God? Like when He created the heaven and the earth, and He finished up and He said, okay, I'm putting my creative power in a vault and it'll never be opened again. I can't create anything again. You know, that's how we live in the Bible Belt. You just wait till people start getting kidneys. Well, who prayed for you? Well, I ain't been prayed for. Well, what have you done over the last week? Well, I don't know. Was anything peculiar? Well, yeah, the other day I was driving down Getwell Road, and right in front of that church they call City Gate, my car died. And I sat there for the longest on the side of the road, and all of a sudden I just began to cry, and I felt burning all over my body, and then my car started and I drove away. Well, you got a new kidney in there. And you say, some of you think, do you really believe? I don't believe it. I know this stuff. If I always get the two ladies, Maria Woodworth Eder, I think is the one, was preaching in St. Louis, and men plowing in the fields across the Mississippi River over in Illinois, 50 miles away, fell under the power of God. Don't you think God can, there's enough anointing and presence and a portal here that God can heal people going up and down Getwell Road? Let me finish. Let me tell you some things happen when you give first fruit. Your barns will overflow. We will do our taxes this week. Work on them this week. Begin to work on them. I promise you. We don't sit down and figure it out. But I promise you, her and I this past year gave away over 40% of our personal income. Proof's in the pudding. You can tell me that you make a good apple cobbler, but when I eat it, I'm going to know whether you're a liar or not. Amen? And we live this out. Number two, your vats will brim with new wine. And let me just tell you, where's it at? You're going to have a new wine skin to put that new wine in. You're giving today, your pledge over this next week, your completion of that. I don't want anybody to feel condemned. You know, it took us several years to catch this. And with it, but we don't practice first fruits anymore. First fruits become a lifestyle to us. Amen. Let me ask you this: if you heard someone in line at the checkout counter at Kroger talking about their daughter was at home and the doctors can't find out what's wrong and she's been cramping in her stomach for 2 weeks and they're wanting to do all this test, if praying for the sick is a lifestyle, you're gonna pray for them right there. You're going to interrupt them and say, look, I don't know where you are on what page, but said, you know, I pray to God all the time, and he does, and he heals people. Can I pray for your daughter right now? And then we're going to start hearing reports of where, well, can I get your number? They call you up and say, my daughter was here. When I got home, the cramping had stopped. Listen, if your daughter can have the healing room, pray for someone in New York and God touch her like that girl got touched, I'm telling you, we've got to do it. But see, what we do is we do things, we haven't become one with those things. Amen? Amen? See, everybody wants to minister or prophecy or laying on hand. Listen, don't pursue that. Just become one. It's not something you do, it's who you are. Art and Wanda are they don't do intercessions. They are. Everything that Art thinks is about intercession. Number three, the blessing will rest upon your house. Ezekiel 44:30. Number four, God will send angels before you to prepare the way. Listen, when I'm in Romania, when the country of Yugoslavia is still in existence, and they tell me, said, here's what we're going to do with you. We want you to preach in Yugoslavia. And the only way we can get you into Yugoslavia is we're going to put you in the trunk of a car. And we're going to sneak you across, and we're going to go through where they got all kind of guns and everything, but you're going to be all right back there. And we're going to lock you up, and the most you'll be in there is 2.5 hours. And we're going to give you some water, you know, while you're back there. And everything's going to be fine because we need the prophetic word of the Lord in Yugoslavia. Are you hearing me? He sent angels before me to prepare when we pulled up to that from going out of Romania into Yugoslavia. They never even, they just waved the guys through. They could have looked in the trunk and found me, and I could have been in serious trouble. Are you hearing me? The angels went before us and prepared a way. Number six, he'll overcome the establishment to bring victory. Let me just tell you, the establishment of religion is coming down. Y'all pray for me tomorrow. Tomorrow at noon, I'm speaking to leaders of the Hispanic community in Memphis and the guy that leads the largest Hispanic congregation in the city of Memphis. Think God's tearing down some establishment. How about this? He'll annihilate, God will annihilate the establishment. You're going to see. There are religious churches, traditional churches that have fought the Spirit and will not allow the Spirit to be Lord. They're in trouble financially. I'm just telling you, they're going to come. This week on Monday, someone went to our website and saw the word that Dutch prophesied, and they have property in another state. They didn't give it to me, but they said, we believe that you can help utilize this property that we have and bring glory to God. And I'm going this week to meet with them and see what it's all about. I'm talking about 12 acres, 256 sanctuary, 8 bedrooms. I mean, just incredible potential. Why did they call? Because God's got a plan. How about this? And God will destroy religious traditions. How about this? And your daily provisions will be blessed. Sickness will be eradicated. See, some of you just trying to get the faith, get healed, when we really need to go for the goal of moving beyond just being healed and move into health. They take the preemies now and put them around the healthy babies. How many of you have read a little bit of quantum physics where they can take a bottle of older wine that was a good year? How many of you know there's some years that the grapes make good wine and there's some years that don't? And they can cork it and put it, a bottle of wine from this year that wasn't a good year on it. And the new wine will take on the traits of the older, mature, good wine. Both of them being corked. The science community's gone crazy with this. They can't figure it out. I'm just telling you, 432 is coming. That's the frequency, and we're going to deal with it. And Don Potter's tapped into it, Vancouvering in. It's just a way, those that hear a musician know, it's just a way to detune or tune down. It used to be what all guitars were tuned on. They're discovering that cancer is being healed when music is being played in that frequency. That's not by chance. We're just discovering what God wants us to know. Sickness eradicated, no more miscarriage, no more barrenness. Our appointed days will be fulfilled. Let me just tell you what first fruit do. I'm going to live out every day in the earth that has been appointed. Our appointed days will be filled. Our enemies will be confused. Hornets will be used against our enemies. Get ready for the bees, the hornets, to run your enemies off. How about this? And your enemies be gone little by little. Increase territory. God wants to increase. He wants you to stretch out the stakes of your tent. How about establishing reigning territory by picking up default destinies? I'm telling you, they're going to come to us and ask us to take buildings. I went with a pastor and part of his congregation this week to look at a building in Olive Branch that they've dwindled down to nothing. The church is a traditional church, and they're going to try to sell this building. How many acres was it, Susan? No, 4.5. 4.5 acres in this building. I mean, a super price on it. A super price on it. And they're wanting to sell it so this little congregation can move into a house. They don't have any visionary. They don't have anything. And with it, but this guy's going to reap the spoils of this building that's probably, you know, probably worth $500,000 or $600,000. He's going to buy it for half that figure. Increased territory. How about establishing reigning territories by picking up default destinies? It has been prophesied to me by 3 people that what God has given me to do in this territory was defaulted by other men. The last one. You will be established in strength that you've never seen before. Now here's how I want to close. Number one, I want to see if there, and please hear me, is there a burning question in your spirit? Can I say this? If a question comes up this week, will you contact me? My email is claynash@claynash.org. Isn't that simple? Claynash@claynash. Send your question to me. Okay? Now, if you came If you've heard from the Lord, if you've been praying and you've heard and you came prepared to give today or to go ahead and make a vow, we're going to receive that. But here, if you're not sure, maybe you're a guest today. Maybe you're, you know, whatever. You're not sure. There's offering envelope. Hand me $1 so I can have it. They're different. They say first fruits. We want you to carry it home. We want you to pray over it. We want you to ask God what you're to do. The only thing I want to tell you, it's not about the amount. It is about being sacrificial, but it's not about the amount. If $25 is sacrificial to where your budget is right now, that's all that it takes. So we're not trying to get you to give huge, but can I tell you, I'm going to quote it. I was going to read out of Ecclesiastes the last thing, but it said it's better to not make a vow than to make a vow and not keep it.